How great is that? So fun, right? I love that I get to work with the students who are passionate about Jesus, that not everybody that is young is left the church. I hope you recognize that. Like, we have some great examples here. Like, it's really, really fun. My name is Michael Siebert. I am the student ministries pastor here, and it has been an incredible privilege to see God work in students' lives. I've been in student ministries for quite a while, and it is it always surprises me, and it always gets me incredibly excited to see. To see the impact that it makes. Today we're gonna talk about students, but we're probably gonna do it in a little bit of a different way, in the sense that we all are supposed to be students. And today the goal a little bit is to unpack probably my favorite like student teacher relationship, and it's really fun to see, and it gets me excited to see kind of how that plays out and how that just kind of lays itself down to getting us to Jesus. And so I want to read it first, because I feel like it makes a big thing, and then we'll pray and get started. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which has been given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray today for the opportunity that we have to learn from you. I pray for every person here. I pray that you stir in our hearts. I pray that the things that might distract them this morning that are not important, just wash away. I pray for everybody that's sitting here that they draw near to the elements and the moments and the pieces that need to impact them the most. I pray while I'm on the stage that I'm not a distraction. I pray that people can see you move in their life. I pray that they are encouraged today. I pray this in your precious name. My favorite student teacher combo is Paul and Timothy. And it's this beautiful moment where you have these two guys who travel around together. They actually spend years and years together doing amazing ministry. At one point, Paul looks at Timothy, and this book starts off this way. He looks at Timothy as his son in the faith. It says this in 1 Timothy 1, 1 through 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. My true son in the faith. He's just representing this moment where he sees Timothy as more than just somebody he got to hang out with and travel. He saw this young man grow up and develop a faith. And then we get to this moment where he drops him off in Ephesus at a church that wasn't exactly the most ideal situation. Timothy gets a church that's struggling with doctrine. They're not quite sure what's going on. They have some false teaching that's started to get into the church. Gnosticism, the confusion about who Jesus is and how he plays out in this church scenario and who he even is starting to really have a great and grand impact. And Paul leaves Timothy there. If any of you have been a dad before, there's this moment where you're investing and developing. And though my kids are 3 and 6 tomorrow, I haven't dropped them off. Well, I technically drop them off at church. But like, I don't really like drop them and leave them and like, good luck, I hope you do well. You know, a little bit for school, but but I've had the privilege, especially in student ministries. I've been in student ministries for about 18 years now, 19 years now, and I've had the privilege of watching people land places and develop, and this is a hard moment. If you're a parent, you know, if you've sent your kid away or if you've been there to encourage, this moment is so important and so valuable, and it's Paul's moment where he's like, I'm here. And it's where we land today. Well, in a day, in this moment in Scripture where Paul is writing this encouraging moment that I think is not just impactful for Timothy, I think it's important for us for our whole life, for everything that we do and how we exist and how we interact with each other, what our church role and involvement looks like. I want to read the Scripture one more time. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. But be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I guess I want to land in the first part in 1 Timothy 4:13. It kind of lands here where it says, be an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be an example. I mean, I don't think this is an incredibly hard concept. Most of us kind of understand that. I mean, many of us have heard so many times, go out and be that example. Show the world what it's like to fall in love with Jesus. And I want to point that out. That is, without somebody being an example out there, I would not have come to Christ. I didn't grow up in the church. I am incredibly passionate about being out in my community and sharing what I've experienced with Jesus changing my life dramatically. But it has to happen here too. This scary statistic of coming once a month and calling yourself a like church-going person scares me. Because I actually used that concept before I was a Christian to convince people to not go to church. Just busy you up. Easy to forget and lose. I mean, I talk to too many people nowadays who are like, I love Jesus, but I haven't been to church in like a year. I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, you need to be around people. And this kind of leads to that next part, because it's be an example, right? Which I think is pretty easy for us when we understand the concept. Like, I want to live, but subtly, quietly, there's a second part to that, which is have an example. Paul is writing these things to Timothy, encouraging him. He spent life and years with this guy before he just got placed somewhere to... The church body matters because we get to have examples around us and see people and also be that to somebody else. Sometimes obviously and sometimes so subtly. We'll expand on that in a little bit, but hold on to that. It is have an example and be an example. In these moments when Timothy, it's not just about what he's doing, but it's also who he's looking at. If we don't show up, we'll miss those great people that could possibly inspire and change our life and who we are. The next part, it's profound, but easily avoided or dropped off. In 14, it says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." And I want to hit on the first part, don't neglect your gift. In 1 Corinthians, it plays out like this, probably more easily understood or grabbed onto. It says 1 Corinthians 12 through 27, "There is one body that has many parts, but all its parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We are all baptized in one Holy Spirit, so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jew, Gentile, slave, free. We were all given the same Spirit to drink, so that the body is made up of just one part, has many parts." You are needed here. You matter. You are part of this. It takes all different types of people to make church work, to make Jesus have the grand impact. It was a tall, blonde, very zealous, excited person that first talked to me about Jesus, and all he said was that God loved me and cared about me, and that bothered me enough to spend a couple of weeks chewing on it to finally talk to my friend who had been consistent and persistent in my life, just waiting for the moment. I needed some diversity in that to have the grand impact to get me here. It takes all of us. I also look at it like this, like you never know what gifts you'll use until you use them, until you kind of get put in the situation. I'm here as a pastor, not because I grew up in the church and was really excited about it, but because I set up a chair. I became a Christian in college, and I was going to church, and I was trying to figure it out. I didn't know. I felt like I was 19 years behind, and I'm really trying to just catch up. And somebody from stage said, "Jesus came to serve and not be served." And I was like, "Cool." And then he was like, "So why don't you go and help out?" I was like, "Okay." And I have no clue what that even means. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, "There's a table out back. There's a tent. Just go and sign up." And I went back and they were like, "Where do you want to serve?" And I was like, "Yes." I don't even know what that means. And they're like, "Cool." And they signed me up for chair setup for this middle school ministry. On Tuesday at 5:30, I would show up and set up chairs. Ding, 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 ding. I'd read my Bible because I was 19 years behind. I was like, "Catch up, catch up, catch up, catch up, catch up. Take the chairs down." I did that for a couple of weeks, and then Tyler showed up. He walked up to me, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I was like, "You can't tell? The Bible. This is a church. I'm reading. It's magical." He was like, no, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I set up chairs, I read my Bible, I take chairs down." He's like, "Awesome." He left me alone. Next week came up and he walks up to me and he's like, "Hey, so what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, we already had this conversation. It's very simple. I'm reading my Bible, I set up chairs, I take chairs down." He goes, "Well, have you thought about helping out?" I was like, "I set up chairs." I don't really understand the question. He's like, okay. Comes back the next week. "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Seriously, dude. If you can't figure out what's going on, I don't know if we can really be friends here. I'm reading a Bible every week. Set up chairs. I take them down." He was like, "Well, why don't you just jump in with my small group?" I was like, "No. Middle school students? Clearly none of you have ever seen a middle school student. They're crazy. And it's a bad idea." Like, I looked at that opportunity, and I was like, for one, I feel incredibly far behind. I have no clue what I would ever say to a middle school student. And for two, like, they're terrifying. So do I need hockey gear? Like, what is it that, like, this is a bad idea. The part I probably missed is Tyler did not look like the typical middle school volunteer. He wasn't necessarily the coolest human. He was just a normal guy. Normal age, wasn't incredibly young. He wasn't like hip, whatever that even means. Or matters. It doesn't. None of that stuff does. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm not doing that. That's crazy. You're nuts for doing this as it is. Like, I can't believe you survived. He was like, okay. Next week comes by and he goes, hey, so what are you doing? I was like, seriously, dude, this is getting old. Like, I don't know what you're up to. And he was like, well, I'm just going to keep asking you until you start volunteering. And I was like, oh, that sounds horrible. I don't want to do that. And he was like, okay, cool. I think it was the next week when he came up and he's like, so what are you doing? I was like, I get it. And he goes, well, actually, I'm just going to lead my small group where you are. So wherever you go, that's where we're meeting tonight. So I joined your small group. That sounds fantastic. This is wonderful. I joined that small group. He started investing in me and teaching me what it meant to lead a small group, to be part of investing in somebody else. It was probably the first time I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I read this a few minutes ago. Jesus is awesome. Let's read it together. You know, I was just like, I don't know. I'm figuring this out. And it was this really incredible moment as Tyler invested in me. We would meet early. We would talk about, well, what are we going to talk about? How are we going to figure this out? I'm just living life. I was a volunteer for 3 years, investing in a middle school student. Actually, one of my students in that first small group that I got the privilege to be part of is a head pastor of a church in Florida, and we keep in touch all the time. He's always like, how are you doing? What's going on? I was like, this is crazy. Volunteering as a small group leader eventually turned into a key volunteer. I was at as many meetings as I could. I just started geeking out. I loved it. I was so excited to see God change and transform lives. And in that process, it changed who I was. It made me a better person. It made me try harder. I just wanted to be as great as I could be because I was so excited about Jesus and I just wanted them to see a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to do it great, but I'm going to do as much as I can. It was so powerful. I remember the moment when it went a step farther. I was a photographer. I worked at I did weddings and newspaper, and I was just kind of, I was holding it down. I was in school, and I'm on this trip at Lake Mojave. It's 110 degrees outside. And maybe you've had this moment when the speaker is speaking, and you don't, it's not a nap. You're not taking a nap. Well, you can be taking a nap, but like maybe it's a dream, but you're having that moment where you're like still connected with God. You're having that, like he's speaking and doing awesome and cool things. And like the speaker's still impacting people's lives. And you kind of got inspired. I don't know what was happening. It's just like, blah! And I was like, I think I need to do this. I don't want the 110 degrees, but everything else seems kind of awesome. Like maybe I might want to be a pastor. I remember after that, I go up to that middle school pastor who had been there, who had been holding down the fort of all this stuff that was going on, and I was like, I think I want to be a pastor. And he was like, finally, I've been waiting for so long. And I was like, wait, I don't understand. Tyler came at me so aggressively, and you wait? I don't understand how this stuff works. Like, what's going on here? I had this great moment. Okay, sweet. He was like, sweet, oh, so we have an internship already set up. Like, we were just waiting for you to kind of talk about it. And I was just like, I don't even understand. So I jumped in. I had this internship. And I thought to myself, I'm gonna write small group curriculum or do all these things. And he was like, so what we're thinking is you'll edit video. I was like, what? That's not what I want to do. Okay, I'll do that. And I ended up falling in love with it. I had such a great time. I edited video. They would hand me large chunks. I started getting so excited of using my other gifts and skills that I didn't think translated over. I didn't think they mattered for church. Like, they started mattering, and I'm using photography and videography and all this stuff that I had spent tons of time, years and years doing. I'm using this stuff, and I'm geeking out. I'm staying at the church all the time. They'd be like, go home, and I was like, never. You know, doing whatever crazy madness, trying to make videos and explosions and stuff happening on the screen and showing it. And I was loving it. And I remember the moment when somebody, we'd finally talked, and I'd been an intern for a while, and somebody's like, okay, what about the next step? How about coordinator? And I get to take this coordinator position. Now I'm actually in charge of the guys in the ministry. Small group leaders, students, like that was my role. That shortly turned into a director position. Then it shortly turned into, I remember the youth pastor comes up to me, he goes, I'm tired. I was like, sweet, take a nap. Like, I didn't understand that he meant, he was like, look, I never really wanted to do student ministries. I was in it. He'd been the student ministries, the middle school pastor, actually, for 13 years, which is already, yes. Somebody said, wow, yes, yes. 13 years for somebody who didn't want it, but just fell in love with, and he, care ministry was what he really was, that was so valuable to him. He loved kind of that moment when people were in crisis that he could be there. And so he starts transitioning out, and he's like, you're the guy. And I was like, what? And I step up into my first, like, official, I'm going to use quotes because guess what, you're all pastors, but like my first official pastor position. To use my gifts and my skills. That's turned into this journey of being a part of. Now, I want to be very clear, though. Your gifts and skills aren't just about what you do here. They are incredibly valuable here. But I think it's easy because I get passionate about my job that this is the best job to have. And I want to demystify that. Your, wherever you are, is the best job to have. It might be an engineer somewhere. It might be running sanitation. It might be whatever it is that God has given you the opportunity. You get to speak into people's lives and use your gifts to do amazing, amazing things in them. I don't want you to be duped that standing here on the stage. This is actually the, like, it's good. It's great. I love it. But, like, some of the most valuable things, we run, me and my wife run a swing dance team on the side, like, and it's super fun, and I love it because we're, like, there was three Christians on the team, one other person, me, my wife, and one other person, and she moved away, and now it's just us, and we're like, let's get them. You know, like, it's not totally like that, but maybe a little like that. You know, it's just like this whole moment of, like, I want to be an example. I want to let them see that whatever they think, that God is amazing and transforms lives, because he did in mine. And I would love for them to just any bit of it. Use my gifts and my skills. Be an example. He's not done. He's not done there. 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's easy, those first few verses really have this kind of outward focus. It's easy to look at others. I think that most of the time we talk so much about this outward go after. I mean, it's almost that team, like, I'm going to get them, you know, kind of approach. And it's easy to be so focused on everybody else. You're like, love Jesus now. Ah! You know, but this is really, I think, the meat and potatoes of how to love Jesus and love people to Jesus. I'll read it again. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I was sitting down with Hunter, our middle school pastor, who is amazing. And he said it like this. He goes, yeah, okay, I usually describe it as what spills fills and what fills spills. And I was like, unpack that. I have no clue what you just said, but it's rhymey and that's super fun. And he's like, okay, so if you have a cup and you're just pouring stuff into it and it overflows, I mean, this is kind of the Jesus goal, right? Like, if you just kind of get consumed with God, it just kind of is everywhere. And people will be like, I don't understand you. Jesus stuff makes, like, you'll have these extra conversations and God will kind of fill in all the gaps. And that doesn't mean you can't just sit around and be like, I'm just going to sit. Like, he'll inspire some great moments and create some wonderful opportunities. But don't be an empty cup. Don't be like, I'm just going to hopefully make it, like, fill yourself up. You really can only change yourself. is I think what he's getting at. You can only have the impact if really it's on you. For those of you who are married, I get to do some marriage counseling, and one of the biggest things that I tell people in marriage counseling is that I'm like, here's the deal. When you get into a fight, you only get to make the difference of you. You're the only one you can actually change. That's the game. You have to change you. If you want a different response or reaction, you have to be the change. And that makes a huge difference. And this is true in all of our lives. I'm a dad now. I have a kid who's turning 6 tomorrow and a 3-year-old. And this probably stands out the most here. It actually, I think, almost grabs all of these verses and like packs them in really tight. We're called to serve others, but work on ourselves. And in this moment of being a dad, I feel like I get to utilize that in a way that I never thought. I think I thought I had run into that the most by being married. I've been married for 14 years, and I was like, you know, I really realized how selfish I was when I got married. I was like, this is awesome. I love Jesus, and I'm totally not selfish. And then I met my wife, and I was like, wow, I'm super selfish. You're awesome. And then I had kids, and I was like, wow. I wish I wasn't a horrible human. Okay, I'm going to have to work hard on this. With no sleep and, you know, we're potty training our 3-year-old. So we put little pee-pee pads everywhere. Just kidding. But you picture that for a moment, huh? He's just like running around. He's like, I'll pee here. You know, that would be really funny. We should do that. He's doing very well, by the way. I don't know if anyone cares, but it's funny because even in that, we're like, I like announce every time I go to the bathroom, I have to go potty. What should I do? He's like, you should go to the bathroom. I'm like, I should. But it leads into everything, right? If I want my kids to treat women well, I have to treat my wife well. Right? If I'm hopeful for them to be awesome humans, like I'm going to have to set that up. If I want them to respond to failure well, I have to fail well. I'm going to have to get back up. I'm going to have to apologize to them. I'm going to do the wrong thing sometimes. And Grayson, my 6-year-old, is very good at pointing that out. Really good. You shouldn't have said that, Dad. You're right. Do I want them to know how to pray? I have to pray and get answers and sometimes not. Show them what that looks like. Worship. I mean, if I'm honest with myself, it's going to have to be about me and God. I want to make the biggest impact. It really is persevere on all those hard things when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, when I'm lazy, impatient, frustrated. The times that really matter are all of those, right? They're not the times that are easy and I just want to run and like fields of happiness. Like they're the hard times when I'm like, I haven't slept. You peed on the floor. Why did you pee on the floor again? The toilet's right there and you peed right here. I don't understand what happened. And I'm tired and I don't want to clean that up. Can you clean that up? And he's like, 3. Do you know what a 3-year-old trying to clean up pee is like? I don't. We don't let him. But like, I can't imagine it being good. That seems like a horrible idea. Persevere and you will save both you and your hearers. The relationship with Timothy and Paul is just incredibly inspiring. It's incredibly inspiring because it just encompasses so much of who we are supposed to be to each other. It really wraps all of us together in such a great relationship. I'm going to read it again. 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. I'd like to break it down like this. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young or old or short or tall or funny or not serious enough. Set an example, not by telling them to stop looking down at you, but by living the life that God has called you to. The one wrapped up in holiness, in speech, and in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be an example in your youth and in your old age. In every place you come and go, live the best you can. And even through the failures, let people in enough. It's usually the moments we really connect to each other. Use your gifts to bless others. It'll change who you are in the best way possible. And when it comes from the evaluation of you in Scripture, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. One more time, have an example and be an example. Don't miss out on how important this actually is. You should have some people that you're looking up to, some people that inspire you, that get you excited. And I hope you are not just holding all of that back and missing out on how much it will change your life if you also are investing in somebody else. It might be some simple things of coffee or something at work where you're like, I'm going to be an encouragement to my colleagues and my coworkers or my boss who needs to know that he has somebody supporting him. It might be in a grand, crazy avenue where you see Hunter, who is in charge of middle school, and you're like, I'm gonna help that guy out. He works with middle school students, which is crazy, and I want him to survive tomorrow. Please help him. He can use it. And it'll matter because those kids, those students, they're going to be the ones holding this church down at some point in time. I want them to. But I want this church to be 80, 90, 180 years old. Don't neglect your gifts. You all have something to offer, and it's really, really important for everybody around you. For your immediate family, for the people you work around, for this church, what you have to offer is very important to us. It's important to me. It took somebody like you to come up to me while I was just sitting there to help me realize that being a pastor would be the best thing that I could possibly do with my life. That I was uniquely suited for this. And last, persevere. Those moments are not always going to be easy. 18 years of church, I've seen some crazy things. I've seen students walk away and walk back. I actually just got a text message last night from a student I haven't heard from in 10 years. He wasn't the easiest student, not by any means. I mean, she was bold enough sometimes where she'd just stand up and walk up while I was speaking on stage. I was like, please no, don't disrupt this. We might actually get somewhere. We would like have a plan, just cut in and divert or fix the, I don't know what's gonna happen. It's always this crazy gamble. I remember her just kind of walking out and a few times just not caring or not understanding or not being a part and people just investing, taking the time. Her mom at one point had texted me. It wasn't her that gave me the text. It was actually her mom. She'd come back home and she texted and said, "Hey, just want to encourage you. I haven't heard from this mom in so long. Marge texts me," and I was like, "What?" I actually blew it off when I first got it. I didn't even think like it mattered because I didn't quite recognize the number and was like, "This seems odd." Okay, and I didn't look at it until I was going to bed. He goes, "I just want to encourage you. It's been a long time. My daughter walked away. She's back at home, and I heard her singing a worship song in her room that you used to sing in middle school a zillion years ago. And I don't know what that means yet, but I'm really excited, and thank you." You're not going to get all those stories. You're just not. I've been in ministry long enough to watch people walk away and break my heart, get into horrible trouble and do horrible things and not come back, or maybe come back, or I don't know. I don't get to keep in touch with everybody. The guy that changed my life, I don't know. Tall, he's blonde, I have no clue what his name is. And he walked up to me and said, "Jesus loves you and cares about you." And that was it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to run around, be like, get out of the way. I need to find this guy. I need to say thank you. It changed my life. Don't miss out on what could possibly be the best thing. And from my vantage point, is the best thing. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity we have here, for the fact that you allow us the privilege of seeing you work as we come together, as we get to see each other get changed by you. God, I pray that we see the examples and are an example to somebody. I pray that we persevere. I pray that we use our gifts. I pray that we are inspired to see the places in our life where you can move and grow. All of us. I pray for every single person here. I pray that they're inspired by you. Do a mighty thing in their life. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.